Yeah. Welcome to season 5 of Sessions.
Yeah, it goes like this right here.
This is the year.
Like,
we get it.
Niggas always be hollering peace.
Season 1 was fun. Season 2, it was cool.
Every time I try to get a piece
season
of mind.
Season 3 was crazy.
Niggas try to get a piece of mind.
And season 4,
so I gotta grab my piece.
Got us ready.
It's the return of the gangsta. Gangsta.
This is the year we return to high stakes. This is the year we get our own place. This is the year we pay back every motherfucker we owe. This is the year. Poker session 44 of 150. Hustler Casino Live 4/18/22, part 1. The lead up. Last you heard, I got a nice little win in 2 hours of 10/20 and 10/20/40 at the Hustler on Monday, April 18th, 2022. The first of 3 weekly games I host. And I went to my players' bank and I drove to the DoubleTree in Torrance. And my phone was blowing up in the days leading up to this, and especially on this day. People knew I was going to be playing on stream in a big game, and many people were saying, good luck in this turning point. I'm so excited about you binking this turning point. And I posted, so if you didn't know, everyone who supports me is eligible to join the community that I'm building, and it's called DGAF Community. And I didn't name it. The people did. It's not about me. It's just what they named it. And it's just about people. It used to be that anyone who supported me just did to be communal because all my shit was free. And then I got a little bit smarter. I'm still a stupid fucking idiot, but I got a little bit smarter with regard to business and said, well, I'm going to make some stuff private. And my monthly salary went way up when I did that. So anyways, that's how it came about that the pillars of the community are all these just amazing reciprocators, these communal people. And we have different platforms. We have a forum, just like 2+2, and then we have Slack as the next platform. That's like social media, and there's many channels. There's a poker streaming channel, and I was put on the 2550 flyer. I saw the flyer for 2550, Max Payne Monday, and I was originally told I was only allowed to play 10/20, and that it would, you know, and I just thought, okay, I'll play 10/20. This year, and which will be 10, 20, 40, and sometimes bigger, but I'll play that this year, and I'll come up doing that. That is high-stakes poker. It's not super high-stakes, but it's high-stakes, and I'll come up, and it'll be a good fit for me because I do work every single day. I'm not taking one day off until Christmas. On Christmas, I'm fucking flying to Hawaii. I'm doing that this year. I didn't do it last year. I wish I did. I'm doing it this year, but I'm not taking one day off. None. Not even like a night off, really. Maybe the occasional night after I worked in the day. But it's a good fit for me to play not super high stakes where I can actually have fun and kind of teach the world how to play poker, how to make it work where everyone at the table gets something from it and the better players get money. But they have to do shit. They have to concede EV. And I've done that for a long time. Now, if I would have opportunity to play in bigger games, that's different. I'm not going to be decompressing when I'm playing on stream. It doesn't make sense to. I'm going to be playing, if everyone else is playing serious, you can't be the one guy while everyone else is grinding. You can't be the one guy throwing a party. You can if everyone's partying. And that's what Max Payne Mondays are going to be. And I'm going to be the face of it, as far as I know. And so it just so happened that this Monday was going to be 2550 instead of 10/20, and that always means bigger. It always means it's going to be 2550, 100, and I just saw that I was on the flyer. And Ryan said, well, do you want to play? And so quickly, it's become okay for me to play bigger. I think I've given enough action. I in the top two in VPIP every time I play, and I don't grind at all when I'm playing poker in general. The only time I try hard is during the World Series of Poker main event, but it doesn't matter. I can win not trying hard, and I can just build good games and make a good decision in a big spot and get paid off and all that shit, right? So we had discussions leading up to this, and I felt like it was best for the show if I did play. We're just starting a brand, Max Payne Monday, and Ryan did not put any pressure on me to do it. He actually said, I don't want you to do it if you don't have the money or you're not comfortable. And I said, well, fuck, man. The Lodge is relaunching on this day, and I love those guys, but they're going to be competition, and like, if it's best for the show, I should play. And maybe I was overestimating what it matters if I'm playing or commentating, but I do think over time I will become a big draw as a player, because once I get comfortable playing on stream, then you'll see what I'm like at a poker table, especially as my financial situation improves with all my other jobs. You'll see that I can make it fun and funny and entertaining. I've entertained people for a long time. And anyways, so that's what went into this decision of me playing this big game. And it's not only is it $25.50 with a $50 big blind ante, the straddle's going to be on a lot, and people are going to buy in deep. And so what? I am on stake, and I decided to have my stake, my backers, only risk half. And then I was going to commit to buying in, to bringing $30K on stage. And my backers will have half of that action, and I will sell the other half of that action at no markup to people that I think deserve it. And so I offered my day one. I've owed him significant money for a very long time, and I owe a bookie less, but significant, and everyone else is not that much, and there's not even that many people anymore. But I said, you can have as much as you want. This game will be good. Ryan doesn't make bad games. And he said, okay, I'll take half of the extra 15. So he's going to have a big chunk. He's going to have 25% of my action. And then Neuro Nerd is someone that's... and I just have earned for my day one as him having piece of me in the past. So that feels good. I just earned, I think, 4K for him last time I was in Vegas. And I played in a 10-20 or 5-10-20 game that was huge. And I've earned for Neuro. And so I offered him. And then the last piece, I offered to Macaroni. Just a pillar of this community, does so many things, is exactly what this shit is all about. It's just himself, and everyone loves it. And he's always about being fair and doing nice things for people. He just brightens the whole community. So, and I know he's a gambler and he understands variance. So I'll take 30K on stage, and 15 of it will be the corporation that backs me. Again, people who have earned this, I'm going to win for them. I'm winning for them. And then 15K is a one shot. Like, it's a gamble, but you're plus EV, and that's my day one Neuro and Macaroni. And my day one has the biggest piece of it. And anyways, that's how this all came about. And when I posted on the poker streaming channel that I was on the 2550 flyer, sound guy wrote, "What could go wrong?" And he, I don't want to fucking see that or hear that. Like, that's just, I know we all have different shit going on in our heads. My whole thing is mental game. Like, I can think a hand of poker, Nolan Hold'em, very, very well. But sometimes the mental game's not up, and I feel pressure when I'm playing on stake. You feel more pressure than when you're playing your own money. It's going to be fine. I'm going to win for those backers. And once they've got their money back plus 20%, then I'm going to feel good. And like, I will feel less weight of that. And so, and I'm not trying to complain. I'm just trying to tell a story. So maybe I was not supposed to know who has pieces of me, because I let Neuro, he's the front man. He was the angel of Dasmus back in the day. I said, here are the people that qualify. if they want. It's not a favor to me. I'm going to fucking earn for the backers, the ones that are staking me long term. They're just free fucking money, right? In a fun sweat week to week. But I said, I don't know, want to know who it is. And I don't want them reaching out to me. I don't. It's too much fucking pressure. I don't need any advice. I don't want, I mean, maybe I do. Maybe you're saying, yeah, you do. I don't want it. It doesn't work. I'm not here for it. And so I see this and I'm like, dude, don't post like what could possibly go wrong. Like, and he said, oh, sorry. And he's probably just like, he's probably not a fucking head case like I am when he plays poker, where if there's pressure, he's not going to be able to play as well. And other people are saying like, you know, I'm rooting for you for many reasons today. Like, okay, that means you have a piece of me. I get it. It's all coming from a good place. Sound guy and these other people, you're going to bink this turning point so hard. It's coming from a good place. It's also just fucking pressure. And I don't like it. I don't. And yeah, so that's what's been going on in the days leading up, and especially on this Monday, the 18th of April in 2022. And, you know, and so Ryan didn't put any pressure on me, but I want to do what's best for the show. They've been so good to me, Ryan and Nick and Sean Yapel. I always want to do what's best. I'll always, even though I don't want to play 25-50 this year, if next year the story becomes, okay, you're allowed to play more serious and in these bigger games, and I'll still have a high VPIP, but I won't drink and like, well, if you want to see someone fucking try and crush people's souls, sure. If that's the story next year, I would love to do it. And I put myself in a position to do that. This is the story of a man trying to come up a third rise in poker and life, and doing it a different way. Doing it through content. And if you include commentary as content, I think you should. And yeah, in poker, but the way that I think poker works for the masses is you got to make it fucking fun. No one's allowed to grind. You fucking sit over there, you're grinding. You're out. You're not getting back in this game. You're not doing anything for the game. And so, but once you get past the 10, 20, 40 level, it gets serious. It's always been like this. Even at Commerce, it's like, okay, I know what 10, 20 is going to be. I'm going to be throwing a party, having fun, this and that. We start playing bigger, or even 20, 40, 80. Still that 25, 50 is when, okay, it's serious. Everyone's trying to win and these games don't really last very long. And anyways, that's the setup. And there are a lot of people that have been rooting me on for years and have a financial interest now in it as well. And some are apprehensive and some are saying you're going to bink and my phone's blowing up and I don't fucking like it. And this is all the shit that's going on as I'm driving from the Hustler over to the Doubletree in Torrance. And I just want to, be chill. If you ever hear me say I'm locked, it's because I'm not thinking about anything else but the table, right? Like where everyone's at mentally, what their tendencies are, their ranges in different spots, what they think of me. This is what I'm thinking of when I'm locked. And I'm relaxed. I'm not forcing things. But it's hard to be relaxed in life when you live my life of on the grind for 5 years almost every single day. So that's what I'm thinking about. I just want to check in, take a cold shower, get dressed, head over to the Hustler, eat my chopped salad, which is a great salad. And I have it every single day I'm there. And have a big Bud Light and some beef jerky, and just kind of chill and get in the zone, right? Like, still put on a show for Max Payne Monday and not be a grinder, because I'm not in grinder mode. I have it. I do it during the main event. That's it. But if I start playing bigger, 25, 50 and or higher, if I'm allowed to play, well, that's going to be, I'm going to have to shift. I'm going to have to slow down my grind and become, you know, work on my game a little bit, but really work on preparation for sessions and playing sober. And I don't know, that's not the story of this year, or it's not what I anticipated it would be. So it's an interesting day. It's a day I don't have like butterflies, but I just feel kind of wired, and with each message it gets a little worse, to be honest. And And I'm not complaining. I know all these people have hearts of gold, and I hopefully they all understand. I'm just telling a story. I always do. Sometimes it offends people. It's okay. It is. It's just okay. But I go to check in, and my credit card is declined because I only have one credit card that has a $1,000 limit. Those motherfuckers will not give me a little more. And it makes sense to use credit cards to build credit and get rewards. It just makes a lot of sense. So then I go to use my debit card, and that's declined as well because it expired, and they sent a new one to some address I'm not at anymore. Fuck. I'm saying, can I call someone and have them give you a credit card number? And they're saying, sorry, no. And I'm like, well, I have to be back at Hustler very quick. I got a big show tonight. I stay here all the time. Can you use the Hustler's credit card and I'll just pay them, because they booked the room. And they said, I'm sorry, no. And I'm like, well, what can I do? Can I go get you cash? No. I said, do you have Apple Pay? I said, I think so. Something always pops up on my fucking phone that says Apple Pay. And I don't know. I never use it. And they said, well, pull it up. Apple Pay works. Okay. So I was at check-in longer than I wanted to be. You know, she's typing away on her computer going, sorry, you know, and I'm on my phone thinking, what the fuck? I need to, you know, anyways, I get my keys, I go to my room, and I unpack, and I take my cold shower, and I text Neuro. In the coming days, I don't want anyone to take things the wrong way, but the deal was at the beginning of this for the corporation. I don't want to know who they are, and they can't reach out to me about this shit. They can't, because it's too much pressure. And the last thing I want is poker advice. It's different. It's just not black and white. Nothing is in life, and especially how to play poker hands and how to approach a session and all that. I don't want it. No, I'm allergic to it. And so I said, in the coming days, I know everyone's in the, you know, heart is in the right place. Can you please have them curb this shit? Don't reach out to me. When I see you, you know, we can have beer. But I can't even begin to explain how much I'm on my phone, and I don't know. So I do that, and then I head down, and I'm going to take an Uber back to the Hustler. I don't drive when I've been drinking, and I know I'm going to be drinking. That's Max Payne Monday is a social game. It's not supposed to be mean and all pain. It's supposed to be a fun social game with little needles and slow rolls and run at once. That's the Max Payne, is the run at once. So it says 9 minutes for my Uber. And I'm just sitting down there, you know, trying to do correspondence and try. I want to get all this shit done so I can sit down and fucking play poker. But I keep looking, it keeps saying 9 minutes. 9 minutes. 9 minutes. Check a few things on Twitter, look back, 9 minutes. What the fuck? Do I need to go get my keys and drive? And then finally it says, you know, 5 minutes or whatever. And the person shows up, and I'm not going to have as much time as I wanted. And I know I'm making this whole day bigger than it is, way bigger than it is, that me playing on stream matters. I'm making it way more important than it might actually be. And this big session, I'm making it way bigger than it is, like a bigger deal. I know that now. I did not know that in the moment. I didn't have that awareness. And finally, you know, I got in my Uber and we headed to the Hustler. Lots of traffic. I got my salad, my Bud Light, and my beef jerky. And I was feeling a little superstitious. Happens sometimes. You've been in the gambling world this long, you start to feel a little superstitious about different things. And anyways, it's time for me to eat real quickly because I got to get down there, get my chips, and head to the stage. And on my way to the stage, I buy rounds for all the people that are playing in the games I'm hosting. I got two tables going Monday through Wednesday, and even on days when I'm not there sometimes, just because Hustler's a great place to play, and I treat the people well, and I have amazing attention to detail with what games people want to play, what day is this and that, what seats and who they want to play. I'm good at multitasking. And so, I'm going to buy these people beers. Then they start buying, you know, a bunch of cool people down there. Cowboy John's playing down there. Aaron Queskin's playing down there. Well, they start buying me drinks to be communal. And to start the show, I have three Coronas on my table. Oh, well. Let me take a sip of this 7-Up Zero, and I'll tell you about the first half of the session. At 4 p.m. on Monday, April 18th, 2022, I started at 25.50. That's a 25.50 out of the blinds, $50 big blind ante session on Hustler Casino Live. My fifth time playing on stream. And so the session starts at 30 minutes on the counter. I'm going to do some timestamps, not for every hand history, but for a lot of them. And so just know that when you see the players, it's always around 30 minutes. The first 30 minutes, give or take a minute or two, is just intro. So as they're doing player introductions, I hand DJ Washburn a beer. He wants to cheers during the introductions. This guy is a patron. He's just a really fucking bright spot in the poker world and just in the world. And it's just awesome. And I got Nick Vertucci on my direct left. I've never played with him before that I remember. And anyways, so last night I watched the show and I took these notes. And it says, the one seat, Nick A, N-I-K-A, DGF's biggest fan. And I wrote, he's not my biggest fan. He's here to take all my money. And then it skips over to Barry maybe it introduced other players, but Barry's on my right. And my hunch is that he just got out of the poker hospital. And the poker hospital is where you go when you downswing and liquid funds are getting low. And I'm sure he's fine. I've been in the poker hospital for 5 years. I can't afford to lose a session. You just can't. When you get out of the poker hospital, you lose a session, you're going back in. And that's how I've been for 5 years. It's not a fun place to be. You're not going to play your best. You might spew a little less than you normally do, but you're not going to play your best. It's too much pressure. And I just sense that maybe he got out. Maybe they released him on this day. I don't know. Well, I mean, I've been in there for 5 years, so there's no shame in it. And anyways, going around the table, Arby, I remember him playing when I was commentating one night. I don't remember anything about him, but he seems very comfortable with the amount of money, and we're talking about kids, and he's drinking Macallan, and he's drinking a Macallan for every Corona I'm having, and that's strong. And here's the buy-ins on the screen. I buy in for $6,900. I'm going to do that this year. Shout out to Mike Trout, and that's the lowest. It's not the lowest in a 10-20 game, but a 25-50-50 game that's going to be straddled, it's the lowest. Who gives a shit? As mentioned, these stakes are too high for the brand of Max Payne Monday, for what I like to cultivate at a poker table. It's just the money's just a little too serious when you're talking about 20, 30, 40K pots. It's better when it's like 4K pots, 8K pots, the occasional 20K pot, you know? It's just the way it always has been. Once you get to 25-50 and higher, it's serious fucking, people are playing, unless you're, you know, in one of those private games or whatever. But in casino, it's serious. And Max Payne Monday is not supposed to be mean, but we're trying to tell the players what's going on, and we're only running it once, and there's going to be slow rolls and needles. And RB says, I don't really care about slow roll, but I don't like it. And Barry says he doesn't like it. And okay, anyways. We're going to start playing, and Ronnie opens the first hand, and I fold Jack 7 of spades, and that's just pretty standard. And Nick asked Ronnie, what are you doing? Are you microdosing today? Are you on edible? And he said, microdosing. Fucking love Ronnie. This guy just lives his life, man. And so he's microdosing, and he's making some weird facial expressions, and he's on one. It seems like it to me. And so it's going to be tough to read his physical actions on this night. You're just going to have to read what he's doing in hands, because when someone's on one, they're unreadable. And the next thing I wrote before we get into some hands is, being not rich is a pretty big disadvantage in a game like this. I've long played with people who are way better off, you know, wealthy players and whatnot, but I always had the most cash on me And so it's just comforting, and it's just an edge. It is an edge in a game like this. And being the broke joke, which I am still, it's a disadvantage. And that's just some stuff I wrote down last night while I was watching back this session at 36:55. So, you know, about 7 minutes into the show, there are two limps. I overlimp 8-4 diamonds. Do I do this in a regular game? No. But this is some stream shit. You got a suited hand. It's a limper. You limp in there. Nick Vertucci raises big. We all fold. And I start self-medicating. I'm not relaxed. I'm not nervous about playing poker. But I just have too... I'm feeling too much pressure. And probably most of it I put on myself. Isn't that how it goes? You don't like pressure. Or I don't mind pressure when it's for me. Like, if I got a fucking 12-foot putt for all the money, I can make that shit. But when I'm playing poker for all these different people and there's a lot of variance, that shit is a little tougher on the psyche. And I fold Jack 3 offsuit the next hand. And then at 40-56, I'm going to play a hand. I raise plus one to 150, 3x, which is just not what anyone else is doing in this game. But I have queen nine of spades and I open it a little early, but, you know, it's on stream and whatnot. It's live poker. NIK, Nick A calls the button, and Tall calls. He defends the big blind. It comes 5-8-3 rainbow. There is one spade out there. I have queen nine of spades. Tall checks. I'm going to be checking this over to Nick A. He checks. The turn is the five of spades, and now Tall leads 300 into 525. And he leads, and he doesn't seem strong. And if you ever hear me commentate, I talk about when the game's out of the muck and when it's not out of the muck. It's not out of the muck. It'll get out of the muck, but it's not out of the muck. And so when it's not out of the muck, that's a great time to semi-bluff. And like hours from now, raising here would be awful. At the beginning of the game, it's very fucking good. I have two overs, a flusher. I have plenty of equity for this semi-bluff. He has some kind of hand he thinks is best against ace high or high card, which... I have queen high, and so he bets 300 and 525, and I make it 1K. This is really good. At the moment, at the table, I remember thinking, this is good for right now, the game flow. Of this shit just got started. He doesn't know me, and I could easily have a five, and it's just going to rep a five hard, whereas when the game's crazy, don't do this shit. You just call and take your medicine and maybe bluff a river or something, but... anyways, they both folded, and I go to tip. Guess what my smallest chip is? 25. And I got the tip police on my direct right. That's Barry. I love Barry, by the way. I tip 25. Okay. And then I fold king nine offsuit under the gun because I'm a fucking solid pro. And then they go to the graphic Max Payne Mondays. You can only run it once. Needles are encouraged and slow rolls are expected. I'm paraphrasing, but I love the graphic. Raver killed that shit. We are going to work together, him in the booth on Mondays, me on the at the table, hopefully in 10-20, which means 10-20-40. Still a big fucking game. It's still high stakes poker. It's just not serious high stakes, which we're going to be playing on this night. And anyways, I love the graphic and everything's going fine so far in the session. I don't have an issue with anything I've done yet at the table. I fold 9-5 offsuit in the big blind, and I ask how much a deck is because I'll just let you in, you listeners, in on this, and then if it happens one day, you'll say, oh, yeah, I remember when he said that. The best, so I do love slow rolls, but I kind of feel like this game's too big for all this shit. And it's not just me. It's just I can tell these players are a little more serious. There's some grinder vibes at this table. Some people are here to earn, and that's fine. If you're allowed to do that in games, you're in the minority. Most of us have to put on a show, even off stream, if we want to play competently at all in big games. Anyways, I ask how much a deck is because the best slow roll I ever saw was my friend JJ Commerce. And that's if you played 10-20 at the Commerce back in the day. He always bought him for 600. He lived for slow rolls. When 10-20 broke, he'd go down to the smallest game on the other side of the casino and just slow roll the shit out of people. He loves it. And he got this woman, Linda, one time, very bad by a river card came and she was excited. They were already all in. And she turned over her hand, like maybe made a straight or something. And he crumpled up his cards and like started shaking. And then she was, you know, like, whatever. She didn't like him. And then he, like, uncrumpled his cards and said, oh, no, I have a flush or whatever it was that was better. And it was the best slow roll I saw. And that's why I'm asking how much it is, because if it ever comes up where the best slow roll opportunity is going to be me crumpling up my cards, I'm going to pay for a new deck. And that's why I was asking, $300? You know, if I'm winning a lot one night, maybe I'll do that. And I got to talk to Ryan and Nick and clear it with them that it's okay. Like, if I'm going to buy the deck, it's okay to do it for the show. But that's why I was asking that. And that's just some, you know, that's what I'm trying to do is tell the story of what was going through my mind and what was happening at the table. And Barry wants me to have a cocktail. He's not cool with me having beers. Well, you better drink a cocktail now. And he's drinking a cocktail. And I offered him a cocktail. I wasn't trying to get him to drink. I do think he actually plays better when he drinks his French Connections than when he's sober. I think he gets irritable when he's sober, and some of us do. I like a slow drip of beer, and he says, no, you have to order a cocktail. Okay, I guess that's fair. And the next note is unrelated to what's going on at the table. It's about what's going on at the booth. Raver is crushing it so far on this night, and that's good. It's going to be Max Payne Mondays is going to be the second biggest show to Friday soon. And then we're ambitious with this. And so it's going to take a joint effort. Him crushing it upstairs, me doing what I can at the table, and, you know, maybe sending Ryan some really good players for the game. And yeah, so he's crushing. Good job. I fold ace deuce offsuit on the button to a raise. That's pretty basic, bitch. Shit, isn't it? At 5240, tall opens to 300. And I look to see if there's a straddle. There isn't one. So he just opens to 6x. I don't know. I have ace 10 offsuit. I'd be inclined to 3-bet this hand in this spot. But when someone opens to 6x, I think it's just a call. I don't know anything about tall yet. He played when I commentated. I know he can go for it. But I don't know anything about this 6x open. If it's random, if sometimes he opens 3x, sometimes I don't know. And so I call the ace 10 offsuit, and it comes 4-3-9 with two spades. I have the ace of spades. He bets 300 and I call, right? So he bets a little less than half the pot. I call with the backdoor nut flush draw and backdoor straight draws and all that. The turn's a 9 and he checks. I'm gonna check back here. I have a good hand and I don't need to be opening myself up to two things. I don't need to opening myself up to getting blown off my hand when I can't get called by worse. So why am I bluffing with the best hand? No, I don't do that. I don't bluff with the best hand. And so I just check back. And the river is another 9. 4-3-9, two spades, and then 9-9. And now he bets 1,200 into 1,325. Don't believe this reps a whole lot. And I just am locked early on in the session. And I call with ace high. And he turns over 10-8. And I turn over my hand. And it's good. And they're mad at me for not slow rolling. There's no way to slow roll this spot, you fucking assholes. And I remember feeling hazy in the moment. Like, not once. This is my 5th time on stream. Not once have I ever felt like the cameras aren't on. I've always felt like they're on. When I can finally feel like they're not on, it'll be nice. So I'm a little hazy. Like, a lot's going on. I've been doing shit all day. I drove up this morning. But also I played that hand well. I just had a read, went with it, executed. It's about execution, and, you know, it's about everything. It's about understanding some fundamentals and being able to do math, you know, just basic math pretty quickly, and having reads and understanding game flow. And then it's about executing. And this is a call, and I called and my ace high was good. Nice pot. And then at 55-10, Barry limps plus 2, and I limp jack 7 of hearts and Nick raises, and he had good hands early on. I just folded, and I said And watching it back, people were grinding. Some people at this table were fucking grinding, like playing good starting hands and not bluffing and just kind of playing good poker. And that's okay. That's what 25, 50 and higher is. And it's usually some wealthy people wanting to battle against some pros. And that's that, right? But that's not going to work at your local card room. What's going to work at your local card room is no one's grinding. The good players are giving, they're playing their fucking B minus game. That's my sweet spot, right? It's play my B minus, perfect. Just make it a fun game, play a little bit better than everyone else. It's all good. It's not going to kill the game long term. It's going to do the opposite. And yeah, so these are just notes. At 57-20, tall raises 300, Barry calls. I call. I don't know why he's raising the 300, but a lot of these guys raise huge. I have Queen-Jack offsuit, I call, and Nick punishes us again. Every time I've either over-limped with a weak hand or called with a weak hand, he's 3-bet behind me or squeezed behind me, and he's had a good hand every time, we found out. Here, he had pocket queens. I folded, and it came queen-high. That would have sucked. I had Queen-Jack. He had queens. It came queen-high. It would have been the old top set against top pair, and then he probably takes a polarized line, and I say, how can you have top set? I got a queen. Card removal, what the fuck? There's only one combo of queens. Well, he had it. He flipped the set. Luckily, I played well pre-flop. And I can see when I'm watching back. When I'm reaching back for my beer, like every time I fold a hand, that's medicating. That's like when I was younger, when I would have like anxiety at a party or feel nervous or off. That's what that shit is. That's why I always drink so fast. I don't have that shit that at a poker table very often. I still have it. I have it again when I'm playing on stream. I'll get used to it. I'll have it less and less, but I got it. And especially playing big against people who are playing to win. And yeah, another thing that I noted is Nick Vertucci's funny, man. He does play solid on his show. And that's just the way it is. It's his show. He gets to play solid, and few people do. If they're a big draw or whatever, Poker Money was allowed to play solid. Garrett's allowed to play solid. And a lot of people can't play solid because it's not a normal poker game. And you're not even allowed to play solid in normal poker games. That's why they're all private. Anyways, he's also very fucking funny. And he brings a lot to the show in other ways. And he owns it, so that helps too. And but he's a high-stakes poker player, like a really high-stakes poker player plays. And I've always been like the working man's high-stakes. Like, no, I don't want to be trying super hard right now. But these guys, a lot of these guys like that. And that's why it's a weird mix of Max Payne Monday and 2550. 2550 is the beginning of very serious poker. And we're doing the needles. And it's just an interesting dynamic. And I put the straddle on. Fuck it. I'll put the straddle on in any game. I just do. And I have Jack 3 offsuit and I fold. And at 104.15, Nick straddles. So we're going to do a round of straddles. And Barry limps the small blind. Folds around the small blind. Barry limps. The game's not really out of the muck yet. And I have 7-4 offsuit in the big blind. What to do here? I 4x. I go to 400. Why? Well, I have a really solid player on my left who put the straddle on. He does not like getting in there with bad hands pre-flop, and that's part of the reason he crushes, Nick Vertucci. And I have a really wide range on my right that seems like perhaps got released, you know, like someone pushed him in a wheelchair out of the poker hospital this morning. And so this is the time for me to pounce. And yeah, I'm a broke joke, but I play poker. So I 4x here. I will likely get Nick to fold a lot of hands that are better than my 7-4 offsuit, and I can get Barry to call or fold, and then I'll be in position with the range advantage and you know, and playing against someone who still has that little bracelet on from the hospital. And Barry, if you're listening, this is just how I do podcasts. You didn't say anything about it. You're probably caked off. I don't know, but that was my hunch on this day. So, and there's no shame in it. I live in that hospital. Come down to my room sometime. We'll play cards. We'll have drinks. Anyways, they both folded. It's a really good, it's just good. It's not in any, without all the other shit, it's bad. But with all that shit I just told you, it's really good. And I played perfectly for the first 30 minutes. And I wrote, no one wants to talk about the first 30 minutes of this session. I played perfectly. I did. And then people are saying one round of straddles only. I don't believe that's going to. I think we're going to be straddling a lot. At 106.42, I raised the button with ace-six offsuit to 300 because we're playing 25-50 with $50 big blind ante, $100 straddle. I open to 300, and I get called in two spots. RB calls and DJ Washburn calls. And I have ace-six offsuit, and I tell him my hand looks like this, and I hold up the button that has ace-king of hearts on it. It kind of does. It comes 10-7 deuce, two hearts. They check. I'm checking back ace-six off. When you get called by, if it's one player, I can bet here. Two, checking back. The turn's a three, and DJ Washburn bets, and we fold, and he turned a three. Okay? And I blamed Lauren, and hopefully she knew I was joking. And then I reached for my beer, and I medicated a little more. Because there's, when you're out of the poker hospital, there are no nurses to medicate you. You got to do it yourself with Coronas and Crown and Diets and what have you. 108.30, I open the cutoff. 8-7 of clubs to 300, NIK calls. Okay. He's playing good. He's playing this level of poker, which is not spew around, have fun. That's 10-20. This is, you know, he's playing, like, okay, he's trying. This guy is fucking Tommy Tryhard in the one seat, Nick Airball, right? And it comes queen-jack-six with a club. Could I bet here? I could. I have 8-7 of clubs. I prefer to delayed bet, just in general. And turns a king, and now there are two hearts, and he checks again. I'm going to bet here. I bet small, 300 and 725. He's going to fold a lot of hands I beat, and I'm sorry, he's going to fold zero hands I beat, but a lot of hands that beat me. And anyways, he calls and I'm done. I don't like playing against patrons, people that have been very supportive over the years. It's weird. It gets weird when I play against them. They know every detail of my life. They know I've been fucking under duress for 5 years. Not only working every day, but scraping by some months. And it makes me feel weird in hands. I don't like playing against patrons. Maybe when I climb out of the hole, hopefully this year, I'll feel better about it. But then I don't want to, like, then I won't want to take their money. I don't know. It's just a weird dynamic, and good for him for being a luck box and making two pair. Just a small pot. I'm happy with how I played it. The very next hand is 110.08. It's my third open in a row. You don't want, in a game like this where people are going to pick up on the guy who's playing too many hands and they're going to make adjustments, you don't want to be dealt three opening hands in a row because it looks like you're wide open. But these are just hands I'm opening. And this is king-jack offsuit. I open to 300 and no one cares. They all fold. And they want to play the show one card rule. And so I show the king. I want to get some credit for my open. I don't like the show one card rule. I think it's actually bad for action. It makes the game... I'm not a fan of it, but you guys want to do it. I say I'll do one round. Of course, I'll do whatever the table wants to do. Anyways, I fold some hand and Tall makes a suicide bluff to 2,000. Yeah, I think he had like 9-8 of clubs on like king 5 deuce, no clubs, with a player behind and Barry tank folded top pair. That's a man who just got rolled out of the hospital. No, it was a tough spot, but it's just, it was eye-opening. Like, this game's going to be fucking, this game's going to be pretty big. This guy's just check-raising to 2K with no equity in a three-way pot. It's, you know, people... He's going for it. It's Tall. And next hand is 117.35. RB opens to 300. He's plus one. UTG plus one. That's 6X. These guys love to open to 6X. God bless their souls. Tall calls. Barry calls. I have pocket tens. I go to 1,400. And RB calls and Barry calls. And we have 3,450 in there. And Barry has about pot behind. And RB has more. And I have more. And... it comes deuce, deuce, three. Great flop for pocket tens here. Any bigger pair would have put more money in, or I would have sensed it at least pre-flop. No one has a bigger pair than me. This is a great flop for tens. Deuce, deuce, three. It's three ways. I bet 2,200. RB goes all in. I'm snapping this off. I just feel like he has eights here almost always, and I think he had sevens. But same thing. This was like zero stress for me. And then Barry's like talking about some shit, and I don't love it, but I bet 2,200 and he only has 1,500 more. So it doesn't matter. He doesn't need to do anything, but he's talking, I don't know. And sometimes He's a good talking game. And anyways, he finally puts his money in. And like I said, I'm snapping off. Arby's all in. We have a nice side pot and Barry's in for the main pot. And it turns to ace of hearts. I don't like that. If someone was light with like the ace, well, if they had 5-4, if they had like ace 4, ace 5, I'm obviously fucked. And someone just maybe lost their mind with like ace king in a weird play. But anyways, I was more worried about the ace 5, ace 4, and the 5-4. And the river is a 10. Bink-a-roni. So even if someone did get me on the turn, I got him on the river. And I'm not slow rolling here. I like Barry a lot. And he said he doesn't like slow rolling. He said he would do it for the show, but I'm not doing it. I'm not going to stack him. If I beat him in a pot, maybe I'll slow roll. I'm not going to stack him and slow roll him here. Yeah, it's max pay money, but this is 2550 fucking, you know, and they're opening 300 and God bless. So I'm just not, it's not a great slow roll spot anyways. It's not like I was bluffing at all when I'm, you know, just firing and snap calling three-way all. Like, there's just no bluffs there. It's just, you don't have any, like, misses. There's no slow roll there. So I got a lot of heat in the chat and Raver giving me, it's not a good slow roll spot. You guys, a lot of you guys study poker and that's great. But if you want to learn how to slow roll, just watch. This is not a good slow roll spot. And I guess against a guy who I don't know shit about his financial situation and or his liquid finance, it just seemed to me like he, you know, wasn't on the show for a while and came back and just I had that vibe that, someone wheeled him out of there, you know, like, and they wheeled me out too. And I've been in there for 5 years and I'm friends with the staff. All the doctors love me and the nurses, but yeah, and I just wasn't going to slow roll him, and it's not a good spot anyways, and holy shit, this game is big. I'm up 15,000 right away, and I do get spooked by variance. Everyone knows that, and I'm thinking, wow, it sucks that, you know, he outflopped me, because Barry had threes on deuce, deuce, three, and RB had sevens or eights, and then I binked the 10. How does that happen? And it's, you know, just both, just there's so much variance in poker. It's insane, and I don't know, it's someday I'll embrace it better, and I hope. And you can see me smiling. Well, yeah, I just got lucky. Even if I played the hand well, which I did, and got, you know, a bunch of money in preflop with, in a really good situation, and got outflopped by someone who didn't have the price to call preflop, whatever, it's lucky to win that much anytime. And so I'm smiling, and that's pretty sincere. And when I was reviewing, I wrote, I can't believe a 45K downswing is coming. That's just what I wrote. And the next hand, I called from the small blind. It was 200. I don't know what I had. I had too many chips in my box that I couldn't put my cards in there. But it's just a old school pro move to give action the next hand. You will see people win the big pot, and they will be, have no interest in the next hand. And it just gives, it's just a next level thing of, don't worry about me. These chips are not locked up. And it's just, I don't know. I don't know what I have, but it came ace high. I was multi-way, and I folded. And I folded queen six offsuit in the button. And I realized Barry was trying to slow roll me. That motherfucker was trying to slow roll me. So now I go to needle him. I say, well, Barry, did Barry go south? You know, because I stacked him and just, you know, messing with him a little bit. And then there are three limpers. I have king, queen. I raise. And then, you know, they call. Comes king, 7-4. Tall leads 400 into me. I call. And it's king, 7-4, two clubs. I have king, queen. I don't need to be raising here. I need to be calling and seeing what the turn card is. Ronnie calls. The turn, there's 2,000 in the middle. And the turn is eight of clubs. That completes all the draws. And Ronnie bets, tall calls, and I fold. And I had them both beat on the flop with 2K in there. So what? But I fake tilt at magic. I say, when's your push? Just joking around. I think Magic knows that I'm always joking around. And he also probably knows that my, or some, or can pick up that my journey is not the rich guy hotshot pro. I've been in this game for a long time. I'm the single dad that's been scraping by and trying to make a 5-year comeback happen. And I tilt. And that's not tilt. I'm joking with him and he knows that. Okay, now I limp ace jack of clubs plus one. I wanted to establish a limping range because the game's getting out of the muck and I don't want to be opening and, you know, having thousands go in preflop. I would rather have less go in preflop and more going after the flop. That's That's my quote-unquote small ball approach to Nolan Holden. It's been that way forever. My worst street is the easiest street to play, the one you can memorize. It's preflop. It got wrecked that year that I played almost exclusively heads up. Preflop's my worst street by far. I'd rather play with more information. And I'm going to establish a limping range here because the game's getting out of the muck. Once I stack two people and we started needling. And anyways, RB goes to 400. Barry calls. I don't need to limp re-raise here. I'll limp re-raise this hand to many, but to a big raise, I don't need to. I just call, and it comes queen 10x, two clubs. Great flop, and we all check. Turns a 10 of clubs. I turn a flush. Barry checks. I don't think anyone has anything. I'm just going to check here. Maybe RB will start bluffing. He's been drinking a Macallan for every one of my Coronas. He's slurring a little bit already. I respect it. I'm trying to catch up. Me, him, and Barry are drinking heavily, which is what you do on Max Payne Monday on the 10-20-40 level. This is 25-50. It's, yeah. So, he checks, and the river's an ace, and I'm definitely going to check one more time because either he has an ace and he bets, and I can check raise, or he doesn't, and he bluffs the ace, and I check raise, and either way, I checked. He bet 500. I went to 1,800, and he folded an ace, so I was a little surprised he folded, and I looked in this hand when I was reviewing the notes. Ronnie folded king three of clubs preflop, and I was thinking Ronnie was playing all kinds of shit like 10 minutes later for one raise, and he just folded to RB's raise. It's just random. It's just Ronnie's awesome. He's on one. He clicked fold there, and he'll be gambling with hands like that later, and it's like, what would have happened here? He would have maybe bet the flop, and like we could have played a huge pot. There's so many things to think about with regard to variance and the butterfly effect. And you don't, it's not always healthy too, but we don't always do what's healthy. Barry's all in the next hand for 2K. I fold 10-9 of spades. At 140, Ronnie opens to 6X, and I defend the big blind with queen 10 offsuit. This is a stream play. I'm going to defend to one raise with what looks like a good starting hand, queen 10 offsuit. It's a 6X open. I would fold queen 10 offsuit, not on stream. And it comes ace, 8-6, two hearts. I check, he checks. The turn's 9 of spades. I didn't think he had much, and I bet 350 into 675. And Raver says, both these guys are in no man's land. Ronnie calls. Well, Ronnie was in no man's land. He had king, queen, no draw on ace, 8-6-9. And I had a double gutter, Raver. That's not no man's land when you know your opponent doesn't have anything. Anyways, Ronnie calls. The river's a 7 of spades, completes the backdoor flush, and gives me a straight, you know, ace, 8-6-9-7. There are three spades now. I bet 650, about half pot. And Ronnie raises to 2250. And in the history of poker, my 10 is not good here enough to make this call. I know Ronnie's capable. It's just a really bizarre bluff spot. And I am thinking, well, he is used to, these guys pot it all the time. I don't. I play smaller ball, which is just how I play. I don't know. I like to just play a different game. And I don't know. I ended up folding, and he was bluffing. He had king, queen, no draw. That's one of those hands where you just run into something really weird, and I don't think my fold's bad. If you're results-oriented, it is, but I'm not. I think it's a good fold. Like, he either made a bigger straight or made a flush. So often, your opponent has this, but Ronnie just... Yeah, he is microdosing, so maybe it's like better to just check the river, but no, that's too weak. It's bet, and you know, hopefully your read was wrong, and he actually has a pair, and actually, yeah, I don't know. If checking and calling might have been better, but that might be result-oriented as well. And now the 200 straddle is on, and I open to 500 on the button and take it. I don't know what I have. Maybe something like ace-7 offsuit. Next hand, I have ace-9 of hearts. And it comes ace 10-7. I bet. Barry calls. And there's 1,075 in there. Turns a 9. I bet 1K. I pot it here, trying to make it look like a second barrel. Well, I just turned aces up. He snap calls. There's 3,075 in there. He's got about 2,500 left on his rebuy. And the river's a brick. And I think about shoving. And I think he doesn't want to lose all his chips. So I bet half. I bet 1,200, half his stack. And he folds. Yeah, he. I think he had Jack nine. So, the next hand, Ronnie goes to 300 under the gun. Barry calls, and I call with ace 10 offsuit. And it's six-way action, 300. So this is a 25-50-100 game, basically. Even when the 100's not on, they're opening the 300. And it was five-way action. I had the best hand, and it came king, 9-8, and RB outflopped me in bet. And I folded 10-6 offsuit. And then at 150-05, I opened queen, 10 offsuit, plus one. This is a string play. This would have been better as a limp than an open, for sure. DJ Washburn called and asked for a darkie. I gave him a little darkie bet. It came 4-7-3. He called that. The turn was a 6. So 4-7-3-6, 3 spades, and he bet. He had 9s, and I folded queen 10. And Barry asked me to straddle again, and you don't got to ask me twice. And I, so it's 25-50 with a $50 big blind ante, my $100 straddle. Arby goes to 400. Ronnie goes to 1,100. And Barry's all in for 1,725. And I have ace queen. And this was a very good fold. This is a really good hand. And the game's getting out of the muck. Barry doesn't have to have much. Ronnie doesn't have to have much. Ace queen's really good. I just felt like it was time to fold this hand. And Ronnie had aces. So it was nice. And Barry had sevens. And so there, it was just them two all in and came out at 7 high. And Barry showed me. I helped him slow roll. I said, nice hand, Ronnie. I said, Barry, just show your hand just in case for the cameras. And Barry had a set. So next thing that happened wasn't poker. It was just life. It was just human shit. People bust Barry's balls for being the tip police. And I don't think you need to police others on their tipping, especially for like the dealers. The dealers do very well. But I did really like what he did next. There was a porter in there that came in to clean something up. He said, come over here. How are you doing this evening? Just really connected with her and said, everybody give me 25. And I was happy to give him 25. And so she got $200 tip. I really like that. If you're sitting at this table, you are fortunate. You might say I worked to get here. Yeah, maybe you did, but you're fortunate to be in a position to work to get there. If you really think, like on a philosophical level, you're just very, very, very privileged if you're on that stage. And anything you can do to, you know, someone that probably didn't have those opportunities, whatever. I don't need to get into it, but I like that a lot. I don't like when he's making you tip, you know, the dealers who make $10 million a year more. But, you know, they're great dealers, so there's merit to it as well. Next hand, Barry limps the small blind. He just doubled. He actually, like, tripled pretty much. So I'm going to try and attack this. I 3X with Jack 6 offsuit. He calls Jack 7-3. There's 350 in there. I bet 200. He looks at his cards and makes a call. I know he's weak. I know he doesn't have a pair. I have top pair. Jack 7-3. I have Jack 6. Turns a 6. He checks. Check back. This is a good check back with a read. And, you know, he'll bluff sometimes and the river's a deuce and he didn't bluff. And I bet pot to make it look like I was bluffing in case he had a pair. He didn't. And I, you know, showed both my cards, or I think I forgot to show a card. And if you forget to show a card, the dealer turns both over. And so it's fine. I played my hand well, but you don't want your opponent to know that you're like, you're trying to punish them with Jack 6 offsuit because you feel like they just got rolled out of the hospital this morning, you know, with your big smile on your hoodie. Because I was there. They rolled me out just down a different ramp. And I live in that place, the poker hospital. But, and now, oh, you got your, you know, I already stacked you. Now you got your double slash triple up. Now I'm going to attack you. You don't want them to know that when they see the Jack 6. I'd rather, but whatever. I fold pocket fours to an open and a three bet. Pretty normal. Next hand at 157.50 is an important hand. DJ Washburn opens the 200 under the gun. So the straddle's off here. So it's just 25-50-50. And he opens the 200. And that's reasonable, 4X. It's still big in my book. But Ronnie calls. And I'm on the button with ace-king offsuit. And I go to 700. And that might seem really small. And maybe it is too small. But if you are going to play deep stack poker well, we're about 500 big blinds deep. It starts by not ballooning pots. You or at least my philosophy is just take smaller sizings throughout and then get to spots where you can bet all of it either as a bluff or for value. And yeah, anyways, who cares? I went to 700. I like it given how deep we are and that he opened to 4X. It could be bigger. There's definitely, you know, but I have ace king. It's a hand that dominates a lot of hands that are going to call this 500 more. And yeah, so he calls. Does DJ Washburn? Oh, no, he doesn't call. He 4-bets 2,500 and Ronnie folds. And so I've been in this weird spot with ace king so many times lately, and I folded to Pokey Bunny recently, and I just thought she had aces or kings, and that was in the 10-20-40 game. I put in 1,200 and folded to the, she made it 3K, which was going to put all our money in, like commit all our stacks, and I folded, and I just been in these annoying spots at a high frequency lately with jacks, with ace king, hands that are really good, and I just feel like I'm dead. I didn't feel like that here. I felt like I wasn't dead at all here. He's talking to me and doesn't seem like a monster. And he put in 2,500. I could put in the 5-bet, but this guy has a lot of heart. And if he jams, I'm going to fucking hate it. Like getting all this money, 500 big blinds in preflop with ace king offsuit. I think it's fine to just call in position. Again, I should be dominating a lot of what he has. And I think I have the best hand regardless. Anyways, it comes 10-9 deuce, two diamonds and a heart. And he bets, you know, he bets a good amount. And I have ace king, and I don't have a diamond. And it's time to fold. And he had six deuce of hearts. So I don't really have a problem with how I played that. And I'm also starting to think that blockers don't, not this hand. Yeah, he just had six deuce and put in 2,500 out of position. And, but it's just, when you, in deep set poker, you don't want to be getting 500 big lines in preflop with ace king. And if I go to the next level, it's going to be really hard to be folding against this particular opponent. I think it's fine. It's time for my best play of part one. Tall opens the 6x. That's 300. I don't know why these guys do this. Barry calls, and I have pocket tens, and I'm going to 3-bet here. I've seen him, enough of Tall's work and Barry's work, and Barry's also protection against me getting blown off my hand. Tall can't just make it a bunch like he can, but it's unlikely to with Barry in between us. It's just, you should always be 3-betting here, and I did. I went to 1,000. It's not a huge 3-bet, but I don't really like, you know, I don't, my sizings are smaller. That's just how I play. It's just whatever. And so he calls and Barry folds. Tall calls, Barry folds. 24-25 in there, and it comes 9-9-8. And he checks, and I bet 700, about a third of the pot. I miscalculated the pot. I thought it was a little bit smaller. I mean, yeah, I thought it was a little smaller than 24-25. Anyways, I bet 700. I want to bet about third here. He calls, and there's 38-25 in there. And the turn is an X, and he checks. And remember, he opened 6X and called my 3-bet with another player behind. He has a good starting hand. And I like to check back here. And why? Because I either have him crushed. And yes, you bet here. You're going to have to fold to a raise. You just are. And it's just, it's good check back. It might induce a bluff. It'll definitely induce a light call. It's just a good play. It's just a good solid play to check back there. And the river's a king, and he bets 2,500. And yeah, he could have induced this bluff, but no, he should be worried that I have ace king here a lot, the way I played my hand. And I look over at him, and you see me smile. If you ever see me smile, I don't stare at people, but I do look at them. And if you see me smile, that means I got something, that they have it. And I wrote before this, I wrote, I should fold here when I was reviewing it, because I didn't remember folding. And then I did fold, and I wrote, fucking sick, fold, suck my dick. I don't even know who I was talking to. There were a lot of people, a lot of critics after this session. I think I was talking to them. I played that hand, in my opinion, that was my best play. I did 3-bet 10s preflop, which seems like, oh yeah, of course. Well, we're super fucking deep, and these guys are psychopaths. And so it's not always three bed. But I had Barry in between. We both have our hospital bracelets on, and I liked it. I liked the pre-flop. I liked, you know, the small bet on the flop. It could be a little bit bigger, but it's a paired board, and he has the nines and, like, the eights. And, yeah, I could have that shit, too, but it's more likely him. And anyways, I don't know. And I got really unlucky. I 82% with 4K in there. And then he bet 2,500, and I'm under-repped and all that, and I folded. I liked it. And that was a good play. And I'm still up 12K, but the game's playing big. I finally get a handoff, 9-6 offsuit. Finally, I can fold. And now Nick stacks Barry in a flip. And my VPIP is 47%. And that was Nick A. Nick Airball stacks Barry. Now it's a bomb pot, and I need a sip of 7-Up for this one. I have 10-8 offsuit. And it comes King 7-6 rainbow. And RB bets 400. Doesn't seem strong. I'm sitting in the 60s in the 8. Doesn't seem strong. It's a bomb pot. People play bomb pots like babies. They're just so scared of everything. And so I overplay in bomb pots. And it's fine. It's my adjustment to what goes on in these things. Ronnie calls King 7-6 rainbow, 10-8. I go for a raise here. And RB folds. I don't remember what he had, but he folds. Maybe he had a weak king, something like that, or who knows. But he folded. He's in a tough spot because everyone's dealt two cards. He bets. He doesn't seem strong. Ronnie calls, and I check raise. That's a really strong line. It's going to fold out almost everything that's not a monster or a draw. And RB folds, and Ronnie calls quickly. And in the history of poker, what's Ronnie's most likely holdings here in this spot on King 7-6 rainbow? It's 4-5, 5-8, 8-9. That's most likely. He could have a hand like a bluff catcher, like two pair, but his most likely holdings are draws. And so the turn's a deuce of diamonds. And I just want to, I don't want him to get a free look at his open ender. And I bet 2K. And River's saying this is not a great bluff spot. And sometimes I disagree with the men in the booth. I think this was a great bluff spot. And you just really have to think about the whole thing. Like, it's a bomb pot. People are scared of these things. And RB looked, you can't pick up on that. I picked up on RB bet weak and Ronnie called. And when I check raise, RB folds, Ronnie calls. This is a draw so often. And I have all the draws beat with 10 high. I do. And so the turn deuce of diamonds, I bet 2K. And Ronnie raises to 3,400 more. And I don't like this, obviously. But you know what? And I didn't study Ronnie or anything, but I've commentated a bunch when he's played. He delay raises his draws all the time. That's just something I just know from watching him. So it's 3,400 more, and it's mostly, it would be really sketch to be raising here for value because I'm obviously uncapped and this pot's big enough. It's kind of sketch to raise for value. So I call 3,400 more, and I'm sure at this point everyone's saying, what's this guy thinking? I'm playing poker. I don't care about absolute strength of hand. Yeah, I have 10 high. I care about relative strength. On King 7-6, when there's a bet, a call, a check raise, and the guy who bet with whatever folds and the other guy calls, that's a draw so often, it's insane. I have all the draws beat on King 7-6 rainbow with 10 high. So absolute sense, 10 high is garbage. Relative sense, it's a good hand here. It's the best hand a lot. I bet 2K just to deny equity. Any pair is going to beat me on the river, and I don't want to give him. And he raises with draws on the turn all the time. And I call, and the river was whatever, went check, check, and he had King 6. So it's really interesting how he played his King 6. My read was way off, but it's just based on tens of thousands of hours. This is a draw so much. And I will let you in on something pretty sick. If he shoved the river, I was calling with 10 high. I had already decided I was. I checked to call. And that might sound like insanity. And it's okay. It would have been really ugly. But that's how I play poker. That's how I've done it forever, not giving a shit about absolute value of a hand. And that's why I've made so much money and why my kids, you know, have gone to the best schools and all that shit. And it would have been a big fucking, it would have been a big setback here. It was. I lost a bunch with 10 high. I lost, you know, almost 7K. But I played the hand how I play. That's how I play poker. And, you know, and Raver's calling it a punt, and you can call it a punt. That's fine. But you got to factor in everything. Like, okay, the guy who bets weak, and now I have leverage anyways, and even if he wants to bluff catch me, he can't. Everyone's scared in a bomb pot. The check raise makes a lot of sense. And with, you know, and I have equity too. And, you know, if RB calls, I'm not bluffing anymore. But if the guy who called calls, I am thinking my hand is best. I'm going to deny equity. And I was calling if Ronnie shoved with that. And he played that king six unlike anyone else will. And he confused me a couple times on this day. And I am never reading Ronnie again. I'm just going to play, especially if he's microdosing, I'm just going to play a more like theoretical approach against him, because his what he does is just so different than the rest of the population. And it's awesome. It's fun to watch and confuses the shit out of people. And yeah, I'm up 5,000 now. And when I was doing my notes, I was getting messages from people who care. Like, okay, you've established your crazy image. It's time to play better. I'm thinking of changing my number. I put my life on display for solidarity, for relatability, for entertainment. And I always did it anonymously because I know I'm not special. I don't have any interest in being like known or anything. And I finally just decided, well, I want to play on stream. And so it's fine. I'll wear shades and people, whatever. I get it. It all comes from a good place. All these messages I get come from a good place. You should do this. You should do that. You should do this. The word should, if you ever say the word should to me or write it, my ears are closed off and I fucking hate you, whoever you are. Mother Teresa says you should do this. I hate you, Mother Teresa. I just, this is just what it is. It doesn't supporting me in my content. It's because you like the content in the community and you like me. It does not, it's not anything else. It's, I mean, I'll have fun. I mean, it's not what, I'm going to give you advice. Don't do it. Please stop doing it. I'm thinking of changing my number. It wears on me. And anyways, Tall opens the button, the next hand. And I have 7-5 of spades in the small blind. This is, in theory, a 3-bet or fold. Not here. Not after I just punted off, as everyone thinks I did in the hand before. And not against Tall. And it's just not. It's a fold. It's not a 3-bet. It's a fold. But we're on stream, it's 7-5 suited. I call. Anyways, it comes king 10-6. And it's, when I say it's on stream, it's not like I'm just throwing EV in the trash can. It's like I'm sprinkling EV off the table. It's fine. 7-5 suited is a good hand, and I can play it as a flat. It's not what I would prefer to do. I prefer to fold. And in different circumstances against a different opponent, I prefer to 3-bet. Anyways, I guess you can see I'm thinking about Ronnie's line with king 6. I don't think anyone else plays king 6 like that. Ronnie ain't scared of bomb pots. I gotta give him credit. And I don't know. Raver says I was putting on a show. I wasn't trying to put. This is how I play poker. And when I run into weird shit or run bad, people think I'm the spot. When I run into the rule as opposed to the exception, it's holy shit, that guy's a soul reader. No, I'm not a soul reader. I just, sometimes I am, but I just factor in all the variables and come up with a decision. Anyways, it was a, that, you know, Ronnie's raise with king six on the turn is, that's something. I don't know, but I need to play differently against him. I love Ronnie though. So who gives a shit? In the end, I don't even give a fuck. Next hand, 217-20, NIK opens. I just call the button with nines. He's playing solid. He's there to win. He's not light. And pocket nines, it's could be a 3-bet, but don't need to. RB's having fun. He's drinking as much as I am. He's slurring already. He's behind me. I'll go ahead and just flat the nines here on the button. RB calls DJ Washburn. Another one. No, that's DJ Call It. DJ Washburn, what's your jingle? What's your thing? Anyway, what's your signature? Anyways, they call four-way action, and I pocket nines on the button. That's fine. 1275 in there. Comes 764, two-tone. And they checked to me. I bet 700 into 1275. I like this. RB goes all in for 3,400. DJ Washburn folds. N-I-K-A. Nick Airball goes in the tank. Okay. I know he has a bigger pair than I do. And if he calls, I snap fold. And I don't know how he can fold here, but I guess it is a gross spot because I'm behind and I have more. And so I do understand his fold. But if he's folding, I'm snap calling. And he folds, I snap call. I have nines. I just turn it over. I just don't feel good about, I haven't played with these guys. It's not like Aaron Questkin or Darren or someone like that I have a good rapport with. I'm not fucking slow rolling. I just turn over my hand right now. I am pretty sure it's best. And I think he has a pair and a straight draw. He could have 7-5, 6-5, 4-5, pocket fives, pocket eights, whatever. And anyways, at this point, Sandman sits down. And that's Windsor Chris from the pod. I'm going to change his name to Sandman. I like that. And he's been enjoying some cocktails on this night as well. And during Nick A's tank, DJ Washburn's telling Nick Vertucci about Patrons, and Nick Vertucci's like, what the fuck's a Patron? It's just fucking great. I love this. And this DJ Washburn kid, something, he's friends with Lisa S., a Patron in the community, and she is insane good people. Doesn't surprise me that they're people, you know, they're friends. Anyways, finally, Nick folds his pocket kings. Okay. And I snap it off, 8,075 in there. 71% favorite. RB had eights. And whatever. Turns a five. I know I can't beat anything on the turn. Any pair plus open ender just made two pair. And the river is a seven. Maybe I could beat 6-5 at the most. And he tries to slow roll me, and you can just see I'm just laughing at him. I'm like, I already know you're slow rolling, man. And he had pocket eights. And so there's a little negative variance. I've had some positive variance. I'm up $1,500, and I'm sipping on that cocktail those guys wanted me to drink. And I should probably stay on my ground and not drink cocktails unless I'm in cocktail mode. But, I don't know. That might be results-oriented as well. And that's foreshadowing, in case you didn't watch. Cumulative winnings. Raver says, I feel like I'm massively stuck. Yeah, I did feel like I was stuck. I was up 1,500, but I was up 15K a little before. He was right on that. I love those insights of what the players are thinking. More than, like, this is bad play. You don't always know it's bad play because you don't see everything that's going on at the table and you don't have all the information, all the variables, and it's so impossible to not look at the other guy's cards and say, well, that's bad because he's got you beat. And anyways, RB's saying how unlucky he got that I had 9-9. I love this needle, and now I know I'm on the level with RB. He's kneeling the shit out of me after he got lucky against me in a nice fucking pot and saying how unlucky it was. And then he's saying it's bullshit. And I said, no, I was angling you by flatting Nick A's fucking grinder open with pocket nines. And we're just having fun now. And 220-205, Ronnie opens to 300 plus one. I don't know if the straddle's on or not. But I 3-bet with pocket jacks to 1,000. And he calls, and it comes jack, 10, deuce, two diamonds. He checks. I bet 700, you know, my one-third bet that I just am going to bet. It's pretty balanced. And he snap folds. He had ace-four offsuit. And RB's still mad at me for those nines, even though he won the pot. I love it. And Nick's needling me, and Ronnie's needling me and says, you were so generous with me in that bomb pot. I gave you a little action. And I tell him, oh, I was going for a diamond on the river. That's what my story was at the table. Yeah, I was just, if a diamond came on the river, I was going to bluff all in. Absolutely not. I thought I had the best hand with 10 high. That's the unabashed truth. And now they're kneeling me. I start kneeling Nick. I said, hey, guys, I thought Nick Vertucci was going to play tonight. I was looking forward to playing with him. Is it fun playing with him? He's obviously been sitting on my left, being card dead, playing correctly. It's just, this is the culture of Max Payne Monday. Not of 2550, but two worlds are colliding. And Barry has been busted, and his seat is open, and he has a French connection, and Ronnie's going to drink it and sing to him and serenade his empty chair. And this is the full-on needles. And I bet you Barry loves this shit after the fact. If I know Barry, I think he does. And I wrote, Windsor Chris, who's Sandman, is so aggro. I've known this, playing with him in the hosted games, but seeing his cards is extra special. Love this guy. He's crushed life, and he comes to play. He doesn't come to fold, and he comes to, you know, max aggression. 232.50. RB limps. DJ Washburn raises to 300. Tall calls. I look down at black aces. Oh, shit. I got a 1,400. RB folds. DJ Washburn says, I'm all in. I don't want to think I'm all in. He gets back to me, and I'm going to ask, in this situation, I am going to slow roll. I've been playing with this guy this week. I've talked to him, and I know he doesn't care about it, and it's different. I have good rapport with DJ Washburn, and so I am going to slow roll, and I'm going to ask the dealer in this moment, so is there a rule if the pot's big enough we can run it twice? I'm going to act like I don't like calling here, and it's Lauren, who I accidentally threw under the bus with Garrett that one night. And I say, no, I'm serious. Someone says he's not serious. I said, no, I'm serious. And then I remember I just told her when I explained to her the next day that I joke around a lot. I'll never throw anyone under the bus. I was joking about her it being her fault. I took accountability on the stream. And I said, if I ever say that I'm serious, or if you ask me if I'm serious, I say, yes, you can trust me that it is. And I said, I'm being serious. And then I realized, oh, shit. I already told her I wouldn't do that, and whatever. It just was pretty clear I was slow rolling, and I held. He had king, queen of diamonds, and I'm up 12K again, and I'm needling Nick Vertucci again. It's fun. And he says he doesn't like it. He's a more serious player than I am. I've been a serious player way back in the day. I'm a serious podcaster, serious commentator, and yeah, so... But he likes the kneeling. It's fun, but it is taking him off his game a little bit, and you'll see that. And that's, you know, it's just one night in all of our lives. It's pretty insignificant. It just seemed really significant on this evening, as you will learn. It's a long one, but you know what? I'm telling the story, and sometimes the story runs long. 240-50. Tall opens to 300. I just flat with 10-9 of spades. He just had to fold to a 9x Sandman raise on the flop. He bet 1,000 on the flop, and Sandman made it 9,000. And I didn't think it was a good time to be three betting tall, you know, for board coverage and bounce. Nah, I thought I should just flat with the 10-9 of spades and Nick Vertucci three bet and RB called, and I just folded out of position. And Nick had ace three of diamonds and a lot of needling, and I can tell I'm buzzed at this point. Fold 10-3 offsuit. It's time for my worst play. I'm sure many of you thought that bomb pot was my worst play, or I'm going to do best play and worst play for each part one and part two. Part one covers the first half of my session on stream, and part two covers the second half. At 249.31, tall raises, and I call with pocket fives. And it comes, you know, I think it's just blind versus blind. It comes queen 8-7, and he bets, and I call. And it's just so bad. I don't call with underpairs. I let people bluff me when I have underpairs. And I called, and then the turn is an X. We check, and the river, he bets 1,000, and it seems a little polarized. And I call, and he has queen 8. Flop top 2. It's bad. It's my worst play. Just fold the fucking flop with pocket 5s. What are you doing on queen 8-7? You don't need to be a hero with underpairs. They don't improve. Hardly ever. I would much rather call with 7-5 than pocket 5s, for obvious reasons. It's my worst play of the first half. In my opinion, that's all this is. 251.46, bomb pot, I pocket 10s in the big blind. And it comes, you know, we all throw in 100. It comes 10-8-5, flop a set. And I didn't get any action with my set of jacks. Two spades, going to go ahead and check this over. DJ Washburn bets 300, and he's wearing a Raver, number one Raver fan shirt. How fucking great is this guy? He was wearing a What Would DGF Do shirt earlier. He bets, and I just call here, and the turn's not a great card. It's a 9 of spades. And I check, and, you know, in a bomb pot, I think it's fine. He checks. And the river's a jack for a bad board of 10, 8, 5, 2 spades, 9 of spades, jack. And I bet 200 with my set, and he slow rolls me. And I know he's slow rolling me. He shows me the ace of spades. He had ace queen. He knew I couldn't call a raise, or I wouldn't call a raise. And, you know, I was 94% on the flop. It's fine. I lost. It's okay. I could have protected my hand, but I'm not doing that. When I have 94%, I gamble that it's going to hold, and who cares? It's just a, you know, bomb pot. It wasn't that big. Now, Ronnie, a note. Ronnie calls 400. So Arby's 400 with king 6 of clubs now. Had he called with King 3 of clubs earlier, I would have coolered him flush over flush. Anyways, he raised on 9 deuce, 3, 2 spades, and a club 3 ways. Just shit you don't see very often. And RB had a set, made it a million. That was the other hand. 257, 20. Pocket 10s again. God, I got pocket 10s a lot. 25, 50, 100. Nick opens. Ronnie calls. He calls with King 3 of diamonds here. So he just, the game's out of the muck. And I go to 1300 with pocket 10s. Yeah, Nick's deep, but I don't think he's going to be... Yeah, he could definitely could 4-bet me light and put me in a weird spot, but I'm not too worried about it. He calls, and Ronnie folds, and comes ace-jack-4, 2 diamonds, check-check, turn queen, check-check, river 7. Just checking here. I'm not trying to bluff anything out. And I have 10s, and it's good. He had pocket deuces. And I'm needling him, and I've been needling him in this drop a little bit because you'll understand why soon. And I'm saying, wow, you put max pressure on me there. That was stressful. Just fucking around. And he's irritated at how he's playing. He's saying, I'm playing so bad. And he gave me two $500 chips. And I'm like, these are nice. You like buying in with these? These are cool, man. And then I say, Ronnie, do you want these for some whites? And you know, we're just all in on it, needling each other. Whoever's losing and playing bad, you needle. This is the culture in what should be a slightly smaller game. Still big enough to where you can win money, but... not this big. Anyways, at 3, that means 3 hours in the stream. So the stream is halfway old because the first 30 minutes is halfway old. That's some dumb terminology, but you know what I mean. We're halfway through the stream at 3 hours because the first half hour is just intros and Life is Bluff remixes. And I thought Nick A missed a very good bluff spot. And these are spots I don't miss. And let me just explain what it was. He opened under the gun and Nick Bertucci 3-bet, and he called with ace 10 at diamonds. Came 5 deuce 3, and it went check, check. Turn queen, check, check. River 4, and he checked, which he should. He's played this hand perfectly so far, and Nick bets. This is never a 6, so you're free rolling to raise with that ace. I would have, and I don't know. That's just, I don't know why I wrote that in my notes. I was mad at him, so I wanted to criticize his play. I don't know. You'll see. I love Nick Airball. I love Nick Vertucci, too. I love all these guys. Listener note, if you want to hear part 2 of this episode where I cover the second half of my 25, 50, 100 session, let's call it what it is, on Hustler Casino Live on April 18th, 2022, head on over to patreon.com/DGAF poker player and sign up to become a patron for $4.20 a month. At that point, you will get a custom RSS feed, which is so easy to connect to your podcast player. A boomer can do it in less than 1 minute. We tested this with Chili Dog. And at that point, you can listen to part 2 of this episode. You will also gain access to over 800 other hours of Patron-only sessions spew, including interviews with Garrett Adelstein, Marley Cordero, Matt Berkey, Doug Polk, Brad Owen, and many, many more. Now, if you like real stories about real people with real issues that sometimes come out at the most inopportune times, you are not going to want to miss what happens next. Sessions is brought to you by Poker Rags. Poker Rags, we dress poker players. Sessions is also brought to you by the Hustler Casino in Los Angeles. Lowest rake, best food, and craziest action in town. If you would like to have access to every drop of Sessions, over 700 of them and counting, plus access to my other podcast, Solicited Advice Podcast, and or you want to be a part of the sick as fuck community I'm building, DGAF Community, head on over to patreon.com/DGAF poker player and sign up to become a patron today.